I'll never forget that night as long as I live. It was supposed to be just a fun getaway with friends, but it turned into a terrifying nightmare. When we stumbled on that altar in the woods, I had no idea how much danger we were in. I'm Jessica, by the way. I'm 28 and work as a teacher in the city. My friends Amber and Charles are colleagues of mine. We try to plan little weekend trips every now and then to unwind from the stresses of work. This trip was Amber's idea. She found this cozy cabin in the mountains that she thought would be perfect for a spooky Halloween retreat. This all happened last October, right before Halloween. The drive up there was beautiful, with the fall leaves covering the mountain roads. When we got to the cabin, it was even cuter than the photos. It felt so peaceful and secluded. That first night, we made a big dinner, played games, and watched scary movies. It was great to just relax and enjoy each other's company. The next day, we decided to go on a hike to explore the area around the cabin. The woods were stunning, with tall pines and maples, with leaves of gold, orange, and red. We walked for over an hour, just chatting and taking in the fresh mountain air. That's when things started to get creepy. In a small clearing just off the path, we came across a strange altar made of stones. There were old candles melted down, bones scattered around, and a crude wooden idol. The whole scene looked like some kind of sinister ritual site. Charles joked that it was probably just teenagers messing around, but Amber and I were seriously freaked out. We started hurrying back down the trail toward the cabin. That's when we heard noises behind us, leaves rustling and sticks cracking. Amber whispered that someone was following us. We all glanced back and thought we saw dark figures darting between the trees. My heart started racing as we ran faster down the hill. Then I lost my footing and tumbled off the trail. Amber and Charles ran back to help me up. By the time we got moving again, we realized we lost sight of those figures. We were all panicking now, crashing through the underbrush in blind terror. Somehow in the chaos, I got separated from Amber and Charles. I found myself alone and unsure of which way led back to the cabin. My lungs were burning so bad as I desperately tried to orient myself and listen for any trace of my friends. All I could hear was a pounding sound in my ears. Twigs snapped behind me, and I quickly turned around. But no one was there. I was completely and utterly alone in those unfamiliar woods. Blindly, I stumbled on, tears streaming down my face, certain I would never find my way out. The sun was going down, and the shadows around me deepened. I don't know how long I wandered through those woods. The darkness had fully set in, and I was trembling from cold and fear. I was just about to give up hope when a faint glow appeared through the trees. My heart leapt. It was the cabin. I scrambled desperately toward the light. Bursting out of the woods, I saw the cozy cabin all lit up. I limped to the door and pounded on it frantically. At first, there was no answer. But then, finally, I heard movement inside. The door swung open, and there was Charles, his eyes wide. "Oh my God, Jessica, you're alive," he cried out. He grabbed me into a hug so tight I thought my ribs would crack. I was crying and laughing all at once. Amber appeared behind him and threw her arms around both of us, sobbing. Once inside, I collapsed on the sofa, absolutely drained. Amber fussed over me, bringing blankets and hot tea. After I'd had a chance to catch my breath, they told me what had happened to them. Like me, they had gotten lost and separated after our fall. Charles found his way back to the cabin first. When there was no sign of Amber or me, he was freaking out. He wanted to go search for us, but by then, night had fallen and he had no idea where to look. Amber showed up at the cabin about 15 minutes before I did. She said she wandered around for what felt like ages, hearing strange noises and thinking those figures were still chasing her. She'd never been so scared in her life and was sure something awful had happened to Charles and I. I told them my own terrifying experience, being lost alone in the woods. We all agreed how lucky we were to make it back unharmed, but none of us felt safe staying there another night. Despite being exhausted, we packed up the car and left right away. The drive home took over 6 hours since Charles and I had to switch off. We were all still badly shaken. All we could talk about was that altar and the dark figures. By the time we got back to the city, the sun was up and the world seemed normal again. But we were still rattled by the whole situation. I took the next week off work, needing time to recover. I'm not sure if I'll ever really get over the trauma of that night. Now I have an overwhelming fear of remote forests and being lost in the darkness. My friends and I don't talk about that trip anymore. I think we're all trying to forget and pretend it never happened, but it's not something any of us will ever be able to fully erase from our minds. We went looking for a fun weekend getaway, and instead, stumbled into a nightmare we'll carry with us forever. I know I'll certainly never go on another off-the-grid cabin retreat again. What began as a playful weekend away became a truly bone-chilling brush with forces too dark to comprehend. The sight of that clown still haunts me. I can't get his icy stare and evil grin out of my head. Every time I see something even remotely clown-like now, my heart starts racing and I break out in a cold sweat. I guess I should back up a bit and explain how I got myself into that situation in the first place. I'm a consultant who travels a lot for work. About 2 years ago, I had a project that took me to a new city around Halloween time. Instead of booking a hotel, I decided to rent a room in a big old house through Airbnb. I figured it would be cozier and give me more space than a cramped hotel room. Boy, was I wrong. When I arrived at the house, it seemed nice enough. It was an old Victorian-style place with lots of antique furniture and large rooms. My bedroom was on the second floor. The owner lived on the first floor and told me to make myself at home. She said she would be away for the night at a Halloween party. That first evening, I settled into the charming guest room and got some work done on my laptop. As it started to get dark, I heated up a frozen dinner in the microwave. The old house made some creaking noises that startled me at first. I laughed at myself for being so jumpy. After eating, I decided to call it an early night. I was sleeping soundly when a loud thud woke me up. I looked at the clock. It was a little past midnight. My heart started pounding as I wondered what caused the noise. I convinced myself it was just the house settling or the wind outside. But then I heard the thud again, along with some heavy footsteps. Okay, now I was really freaked out. I slowly got out of bed and crept to the door. That's when I saw a shadowy figure coming up the stairs. As it got closer, I muffled my scream. It was a man, dressed in a terrifying clown costume and mask. His eyes locked on mine, and he started creeping towards my room. I slammed the door shut and pushed the dresser in front of it. Then, I frantically looked for my phone to call 911. But just my luck, I had left it downstairs charging on the kitchen counter. I was trapped in the bedroom with no way out except a window. But outside was a 20-foot drop onto concrete. My mind was racing, trying to figure out what to do next. I heard the clown rattle the doorknob and bang on the door. That monster was trying to get in. I knew I had to act fast before he broke down the door. In a panic, I ran to the window and tried desperately to open it, but it was swollen from the humidity and got stuck halfway up. My only option was to squeeze through the narrow opening, feet first. I contorted my body and wriggled through the gap, the wood scraping my sides. Once outside, I clung tightly to the ledge, my hands scraping against the rough exterior walls. My feet dangled in the air as I looked down at the deadly drop. The thought of falling paralyzed me. I was trapped outside the window now, with nowhere to go but down. Suddenly, the clown's sinister laugh came from inside the room. I could tell he had gotten the door open. That sound motivated me to keep moving along the ledge, inching my way toward a nearby oak tree. I stretched my foot out, trying to gain a toehold on its trunk. And just as I felt I couldn't hold on any longer, my foot touched the rough bark. Using all my strength, I managed to scramble over to the thickest branch. I wrapped my arms and legs around it, my heart beating out of my chest. For a moment, I was safe in the tree, but then I heard a window smashing above me. Shards of glass rained down as a clown stuck his head out the narrow opening. I had to get down before he came after me. Half climbing, half falling, I made my way from branch to branch until I was just 10 feet above the ground. I took a deep breath and jumped down, crumbling to the grass below. Without looking back, I sprinted toward the street as fast as I could. I ran aimlessly through the dark neighborhood, panicked and out of breath. I had no idea where I was going. I just knew I had to get as far away from that house and psychopath clown as possible. After what seemed like forever, I came across a 24-hour diner and ducked inside. The warmly lit diner felt like heaven after the nightmare I had just gone through. The only other people there were a truck driver at the counter and a waitress. I must have looked insane, barefoot, scraped up, and shaking in terror. But I didn't care. I was just thankful to have escaped. I breathlessly told the waitress what happened, and she called the police. Within minutes, several squad cars showed up, lights flashing. The cops took my statement and went to the house to investigate. I prayed they would catch the lunatic clown before he could terrorize anyone else. All I wanted was to feel safe again, but the images of that clown's creepy grin and icy stare will haunt me forever. I still have no idea who he was or why he targeted me. But now when I travel, I stick to impersonal hotels instead of staying in strangers' homes. My days of feeling cozy and carefree while away on business are over. Man, where do I even start with the crazy stuff that went down that Halloween night? Me and my buddy Chad thought we were just gonna have some laughs staying at a house that was supposedly haunted. But we got way more than we bargained for. That place was seriously messed up. Still gives me chills just thinking about it. But before I get into all that, let me give you a little background on myself. My name's Chris. I'm 26 years old, and I work over at the auto shop downtown. Been best friends with Chad since high school, when we were both into skateboarding and punk rock. We're always looking to do dumb stuff for kicks. renting a supposedly haunted house for Halloween weekend seemed right up our alley. When we first pulled up to the place that Friday afternoon, it looked like your average suburban home. Brick walls, big bay windows, nicely kept yard. Inside was pretty modest too. Couple of bedrooms, cozy living room, full kitchen. Nothing about it screamed haunted to us. Chad and I just chuckled about how we have to make up our own ghost stories just to entertain ourselves. We spent that first night eating pizza, watching horror movies, and joking around about hearing spooky noises. I'll admit, a few floorboard creaks made me jump, but come on, old houses make sounds. Wind was howling outside too, perfect for the Halloween vibe we wanted. We ended up crashing early since we were beat from the drive out. Next day, we spent prepping for our big Halloween night. Carved pumpkins, put up decorations, loaded up on candy to hand out to trick-or-treaters. Once the sun started to set though, things just didn't feel right anymore. Chad might have found it funny, but I had this gut feeling that something was up. Around 10 p.m., with no sign of ghostly activity, we thought it would be hilarious to start mocking any alleged spirits that might be present. In a taunting tone, we dared them to show themselves and make their presence known, all the while laughing at just how stupid the whole idea was. We were cracking up about how ridiculous we were being, until the house decided to show us otherwise. The disturbances began subtly. A faint thud from upstairs, the faucet in the kitchen turning on by itself. Chad and I exchanged puzzled looks, but quickly ignored it. Then the knocks and bangs grew louder, more aggressive. Lights flickering, doors rattling violently in their frames. Our laughter shifted to paralyzing fear. No way what we were witnessing could be explained rationally. This house was seriously haunted. We huddled together in the living room, terrified as the activity escalated dramatically. That evil presence was really pissed at that point. Chad kept stammering this had to be a prank, but how could it? Our weekend of fun had taken a wild turn, and all we could do was wait out this nightmarish supernatural attack. The night was only getting started though, and things were about to get a whole lot worse. The angry presence wasn't finished with us, not even close. The pounding and rattling gave way to even more violent poltergeist activity. Drawers flew open in the kitchen, utensils and dishes hurtling through the air over our heads. The flat screen wrenched itself off the living room wall, smashing to pieces, barely a foot away from us. Chad and I huddled there paralyzed, arms shielding our faces from debris flying around the room. The onslaught was endless, light bulbs bursting, furniture toppling over, the walls vibrating so hard the whole place seemed ready to collapse. That evil energy permeating the house felt focused directly on us now, like we were being punished for openly mocking it earlier that night. When the assault finally stopped, we took that as our cue to get the hell out of there. Chad snatched up our car keys and yelled that we needed to get out of there immediately. We made a panicked rush for the front door, only to find it completely jammed shut. No amount of pulling or hitting could force it open. The ghostly presence had locked us inside, trapping us there. Chad shouted that there had to be another way out, so we sprinted for the back door in the kitchen. Our hearts sank when we got there. The door was not only locked tight, but the glass pane was clouded over with a thick, impenetrable fog. Even smashing through it would have seemed useless, as the fog obscured literally everything outside. We were truly prisoners inside this possessed house. In complete desperation, we ran back to the living room to grab our cell phones and call for help. That's when the most blood-curdling incident occurred. A massive, invisible force grabbed Chad by the arms and hurled him like a rag doll across the room. He crashed into a bookcase before landing hard on his back, crying out in pain and terror. I started to rush to his aid when I too was suddenly lifted into the air and tossed violently sideways. My body slammed against the wall, knocking the wind right out of me before I collapsed onto the floor. For a moment, I thought my spine had snapped. Coughing and gasping for air, I crawled over to where Chad lay writhing in agony. This evil entity was clearly intent on causing us serious bodily harm. Barely able to move from the injuries inflicted on us, Chad and I knew we had to act fast or we'd both end up dead. Adrenaline fueled our pained bodies as we half crawled, half staggered our way back to the front door. We tried the door again, and this time, for some reason, it opened. We didn't wait around to find out why. We ran to our car, jumped in, and sped off. After our escape, Chad and I met with the dude who rented us the place, figuring he owed us some answers. Turns out, he was actually serious about listing his house as haunted on Airbnb. He honestly didn't seem shocked at all and wasn't even fazed by any of it. I couldn't believe this guy. Not like a quick disclaimer would have killed him. Oh, by the way, watch out for violent poltergeists who might fling you against walls or something. When we showed him our bruises and cuts, he just shrugged and said we shouldn't have provoked it. Unreal. Chad and I definitely learned our lesson though. No more joking around when it comes to the paranormal. We're lucky to be alive after the beating that evil spirit gave us. It still freaks me out just thinking about it. I was always a hardcore skeptic, but now, it's hard to convince me otherwise. Our Airbnb horror story happened last winter. My boyfriend Ronnie and I decided to get away from everything for a while. We booked this cozy cabin nestled deep in the woods, thinking it'd be perfect for some alone time. The first day was great, just relaxing, enjoying the snowy landscape, and feeling miles away from the rest of the world. It was exactly what we needed. The cabin was quaint, with this old-timey charm, but it had all the modern comforts. It was on this isolated patch of land surrounded by dense woods. However, that feeling of bliss quickly vanished the next night. It was around 7 p.m., just after dinner, when I first noticed something strange. Through the kitchen window, I could see the edge of the woods. There was this man standing there. He was just staring at the cabin, not moving, like a statue. It was creepy, but Ronnie thought I was overreacting. He said it could just be a hunter or a hiker. But why would someone stand there, motionless, just watching our cabin? I couldn't understand why Ronnie wasn't seeing this as a big deal, but I just knew something wasn't right about that man out there. We tried to ignore it and went about our evening. But then, around 11 p.m., the power suddenly went out. It was pitch black, and my mind immediately went to that man in the woods. I was freaking out, thinking he had something to do with it. Ronnie was trying to keep me calm, but I could tell he felt something was off about this situation as well. He called the host, who couldn't do much except contact the utility company. As Ronnie was on the phone with the host, I was standing near the living room window holding a candle when I saw the man again. He was closer this time. He stood there for a few seconds, then walked off into the darkness. I couldn't see his face clearly, but something about him reminded me of my crazy ex. I wasn't too sure at the time, though. After Ronnie hung up with the host, I told him about seeing the man again. He decided to go outside and check things out, even though I begged him not to. It was around 11:30 p.m. by then, and the darkness outside was like a thick blanket. I watched from the window, my eyes peeled for any sort of movement, as Ronnie walked towards the spot where I'd seen the man. He found footprints in the snow, leading deeper into the woods, but without any light, and considering he wasn't armed, he didn't follow them. He came back looking worried, which wasn't like him at all. We locked all the doors and windows, and Ronnie sat near the living room window, keeping an eye out. This definitely wasn't how we planned to spend our getaway, but those were the cards we were dealt that night. The power was still out, and our phones were running low on battery. It was the longest night of my life, every minute stretching out endlessly. When we heard a truck approaching early in the morning, we felt a wave of relief. It was the utility company. They fixed the power by around 8 a.m. With the lights back on, everything seemed less scary, but that feeling didn't last long. The real shock came when we stepped outside. Our car, parked a little away from the cabin, had been vandalized. Someone had spray-painted a message across the windshield, which read, "She will always be mine." The sight of it made my blood run cold. That had to be the man from the woods, and those words, they sounded just like something my ex would say. We called the police, but they said there wasn't much they could do. No one had seen anything, and we didn't have any proof. We left the cabin as soon as we could, cutting our stay short. That trip was supposed to be a relaxing getaway, but it turned into one of the most terrifying nights of my life. My girlfriend and I decided to rent a house in Salem for a weekend getaway 2 winters ago. We were both into creepy, mysterious stuff, and Salem seemed like the perfect spot. The Airbnb we found wasn't fancy, but it had this old-world charm that we both loved. It was one of those modest two-story houses, with creaky wooden floors and vintage furniture. We arrived there on a Friday afternoon, and everything was covered in snow, making it look more peaceful than creepy, but we were fine with it. That night, after exploring around town, we were beat. We went to bed around 11 p.m. The bedroom was on the second floor, small but cozy, with an old brass bed and thick heavy curtains that blocked out most of the light. We fell asleep pretty fast, but something woke me up around 3 a.m. At first, I wasn't sure what it was. Then I heard it clearly. Laughter. Not just any laughter, but a man's laugh. However, it sounded high-pitched and unsettling. It was coming from the kitchen downstairs. I nudged my girlfriend awake, and she heard it too. The laugh almost didn't sound human. It was just so freaking bizarre. All I know is that internally, I was screaming like a 9-year-old little girl. We lay there, listening. The laughter wasn't stopping. Instead, it got louder and more hysterical. Then came the sound of things being thrown around in the kitchen and heavy footsteps. It sounded like someone or something was wrecking the place. We were both too scared to move. My girlfriend whispered that we should call 911, and I agreed. As quietly as I could, I reached for my phone on the nightstand and dialed 911. I could barely keep the phone straight due to my hand shaking so bad. When the operator answered, I whispered what was happening. The operator could hear the chaos in the background. That freaked me out even more. She told us to stay put and stay quiet, and that the police were on their way. We were supposed to stay on the line until they got there. So we just laid there, listening to the mayhem downstairs, while praying the cops showed up as soon as possible. It felt like we were waiting forever. Every second in that room, listening to the sounds downstairs, was pure terror. I remember glancing at the old clock on the bedroom wall, and it seemed like time was crawling. The laughter and noise continued, and at one point, it sounded like it was right outside our bedroom door. I remember thinking how glad I was that the door was closed, but then it hit me. We hadn't locked it. When that realization hit me, I felt every hair on the back of my neck stand straight up. but neither of us dared to get up and lock the door. We were frozen in fear. Finally, we heard the police sirens outside. The sound was so reassuring, but the chaos didn't stop. The laughter and chaos continued right up until the police kicked open the front door. As soon as we heard the police enter the house, all of the noises stopped. We heard them yelling and moving through the house, checking every room. The tension in our room was unbearable. We were holding hands so tight it hurt. I remember hearing the officer's footsteps coming up the stairs, and my heart was in my throat. I told the 911 operator the police were here and hung up. When the police finally reached our room, they looked just as confused as we felt. They told us they had checked the entire house and there was no sign of anyone else. No sign of forced entry, nothing out of place downstairs, despite all the noise we had heard. They asked us a few questions and we explained everything. I could tell they were skeptical, but they were at least trying to be understanding. They offered to stay until we felt safe, but honestly, we just wanted to leave. We packed our bags right then and there, not even caring about the Airbnb policy or anything. We just needed to get out of that house. The rest of the night, we spent in a hotel downtown, with neither of us able to sleep much. We kept going over everything in our heads, trying to make sense of it, but nothing added up. It was the most terrifying experience of our lives, and to this day, we still have no explanation for what happened that night in Salem. We had planned this getaway for months. My girlfriend Claire and I were desperate for a break from the city's chaos. So, we found this charming little Airbnb farmhouse tucked away in the woods. It was the middle of winter, and the place was isolated at the end of a long private road. Our nearest neighbors were miles away. And that was just what we wanted, a quiet, secluded spot. We got there around 4 p.m., just as the sun was starting to set. The place looked like something out of a postcard, covered in snow, with smoke lazily drifting up from the chimney. The first evening was pretty uneventful. We spent it unpacking and cooking dinner together, and watching Home Alone Part 1 on the small TV in the living room. It was around midnight when we decided to call it a night. The temperature had dropped significantly, and the wind was howling outside, making the old farmhouse creak and groan. I remember joking with Claire about it being the perfect setting for a horror movie. We laughed it off and went to bed, not knowing what awaited us later that night. I woke up suddenly. I'm not sure what time it was, maybe around 2 a.m., It took me a moment to realize what had woken me up. It was a sound, a scream, coming from the forest surrounding the farmhouse. I sat up, listening intently. It was a guttural, chilling scream, nothing like I'd ever heard before. Claire was still asleep, and I didn't want to wake her up, so I quietly got out of bed and peered out the window. The room was bright, casting eerie shadows on the snow-covered ground. The screaming stopped, and everything was silent for a moment. Then, it started again, this time sounding closer. I couldn't tell what it was, but it definitely didn't sound human. Now I was on high alert. In hindsight, this was probably a stupid decision, but I decided to get a better look. I quietly slipped on my coat and boots and stepped out onto the back deck. The cold hit me like a wall, and snow was gently falling, making everything look hazy. The deck faced the direction where the screams had come from. Out there, with the forest just a stone's throw away, I felt exposed. I scanned the tree line, squinting through the snowfall. That's when I saw something odd, what looked like old lanterns moving in the woods. But it was hard to see clearly. The snow distorted everything, and the lights flickered in and out of view. The screaming started up again, louder this time. It was a sound that made your heart race, full of pain and anger, something wild. Just as I was about to turn back inside, I caught sight of something else. From the left side of the woods, this huge figure bursted out. It was running across the field to the woods on the other side. It was too big to be any normal animal, and its movements were strange, almost frantic. I couldn't make out what it was, but I knew it wasn't anything I'd ever seen. The fear that gripped me then was primal. I turned and ran back inside, locking the door behind me. Inside, I found Claire standing frozen near the living room window, staring out towards the direction where I saw the large creature running. She looked petrified, almost in a trance. It took her a moment to notice me. I asked her what she saw, but she couldn't seem to find the words. She just shook her head, her eyes wide with fear. We didn't sleep for the rest of that night, just sat together in the living room, listening to the silence. The next day, there were no signs of anything unusual outside. No tracks in the snow, no more strange sounds. We discussed leaving, but eventually decided to stay, thinking maybe it was just some weird isolated incident. The rest of our stay passed without anything else happening, but we were still freaked out about that night. That encounter, whatever it was, is something we try to avoid talking about until this very day. But I'm sharing this story with you today because I just needed to get it off my chest. Whether anyone believes me or not, I don't care. I was there. Claire was there. That's all that matters.